This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
When your stock portfolio tanks, take heart that you're helping to fight inflation. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, the annual meeting of global policy, business, and political elites at a Swiss ski resort is underway in Davos. The in-person gathering was postponed from January, given Omicron. At Davos, the head of the International Monetary Fund is warning about all of the threats to both the world economy and global cooperation, with the war in Ukraine compounding the impact of COVID. The BBC's Faisal Islam has more.
It feels like an economic precipice for the world. Energy prices, food costs, interest rates, and debts all on the rise at the same time, sharply slowing down the world economy. And geopolitics, diplomacy and war are getting in the way of the normal economic reaction. Those public words are echoed privately from top business leaders starting to wonder at this summit of globalization whether that process is now going inexorably into reverse.
Normally that Davos meeting is in deep winter. I see that deep into May here, it's 68 degrees and sunny in Davos today, so none of that skiing this time around, which might have seemed tasteless anyway, given everything. Now to the bear that wasn't. The S&P did not, in the end, fall by 20% from a recent peak on Friday, and this morning things are up so far quite a bit. Let's check Julia's economic pulse to start the week. Economist Julia Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Good morning.
Good morning.
So those of us in financial media are all ready to write these S&P 500 index now in bear market territory, down 20% from a recent high on Friday, right? And then it didn't quite happen. The S&P ticked up, and so it's not in bear territory. Be it as it may, stock prices have been down. That actually helps the Federal Reserve do its thing.
Yes, that's right. Lower equity prices have sort of a negative wealth effect. They make businesses more cautious about hiring and investing and spending, and it makes consumers a little bit more cautious. And that's what the Fed wants. They want people to be more cautious and spending to slow a little bit, and that will ease the inflationary pressures.
So if you're sitting there head in hand because of all this inflation, at least you can console yourself that your stock portfolio is going down to help fight inflation.
It's not pleasant. I think that Chair Powell described it as a little bit of pain. So we are feeling that pain. And this is usually the territory where markets expect the Fed to come in and sort of save the day by promising not to be as harsh with interest rate hikes. But they can't do that right now with inflation this high.
Yeah. And some money's going into bonds, which hasn't been happening in this inflationary environment. People now buying bonds. That helps interest rates drift down, counter to what the Fed wants. But that is what we're seeing in the bond market.
Yes, they tend to move in opposite directions. So bond yields are sort of going down on caution and safe haven. But they're still up quite a bit. I think if you go to take out a mortgage in this environment, you'll find that rates are still quite a bit higher than they were a year ago. So we do have higher interest rates and lower equity prices than we had even just a few months ago. And both of those things should have an effect slowing the economy down.
Europeans are doing this too. The head of the European Central Bank, Christine Lagarde, said this morning that she thinks by the fall, negative interest rates, where you have to pay them to hold your money, are going to go away. They still had negative interest rates. I forgot.
Yeah, if you think the Fed was slow, the European Central Bank was even slower. And they have not quite as high inflation, but getting close and are also moving in the same direction. In fact, everybody's moving in the same direction. So inflation is high everywhere and central banks are getting a little bit nastier everywhere.
Julia Coronado, economist and founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Always good to talk to you on a Monday.
My pleasure.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Texas set new high temperature records this weekend, and with all that air conditioning churning away, the electric grid takes notice. Texas grid operator ERCOT, it's called, has been asking customers to conserve to make sure the lights stay on. But as Marketplace's Andy Euler reports from Austin, renewables have emerged as something of an unsung hero.
A couple of winters ago, when freezing weather led to hundreds of deaths and millions of people had no electricity for days, the failure of Texas's electricity grid was blamed by many on wind and solar.
You know, some people in the state that don't necessarily like them.
That's Joshua Rhodes at the University of Texas at Austin. He says that's despite how much wind and solar contribute to the grid.
I mean, they're really punching above their weight right now in terms of, you know, meeting this peak demand on this, you know, summer that's come multiple weeks early.
He says the market for renewables in Texas is undeniable. But Doug Lewin, president of Stoic Energy, says incorporating renewables into the electricity grid is a challenge.
It's also challenging to maintain a fleet of a lot of 50s and 60s and 70s era thermal plants.
Some of those thermal plants have been offline for maintenance over the past couple of weeks, leading regulators to ask consumers to curb electricity use to help keep the lights on. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And here's something that's doing A-OK. Russia's currency, the ruble, up nearly 8% today. It only costs 55 rubles to buy a U.S. dollar. The strongest since 2018. It was 139 to the dollar a few weeks after Russia started its war on Ukraine. In the face of sanctions and the resulting full-scale economic crisis there, Russia has been tightly controlling its currency to the point the ruble has become the world's best-performing currency this year. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio, the Marketplace Morning Report guy. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.